episode 38. Shall we call this one the death of the altcoins, maybe? I don't know. It seems like even though Bitcoin is holding up for the first time, we might be seeing signs of this oversupply of altcoins. Thicky, you've been kind of expecting this for a while. You've been probably anticipating something like this.
Yeah, I think a while back I posted, a chart showing altcoin emissions and how, they're emitting around $250 million a day of supply. And, the point of that post was to sort of hint to the market that, like, it seemed like it was about time to start putting on the long Bitcoin, short altcoin trade. And it's been, sort of printing in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah. Let's get some of the charts up, Taiki. Maybe I think we had some of the heavy emitters. So we have Arbitrum. I think maybe like the Arbitrum BTC chart. I don't know if we can get something like that, but I've been looking at some of the BTC charts. Okay. So. This is where you start getting caught up into the VC unlock game. It's not in the first year, but once they start, it's monthly, it's big, everyone's up infinite. Arbitrum is obviously very good tech. I think nobody denies that. They're doing very well. They're the leading L2 by far, right? TVL-wise, activity-wise. But it's not a new coin. It's not a low float coin anymore. And I guess there's nothing super exciting or new right now. I mean, there's Orbit chains, I guess, which could be interesting. But this is why I've been staying away from buying coins that are, as Thicky said, about to start experiencing very, very heavy sales. Taiki, has the mid curve avoided this, or where have you been on these kind of alts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really bullish L2 tokens, to be honest. I think EIP 4844 was all the news. I don't think it's as competitive as Solana. L2s aren't as competitive as Solana in terms of how fast it is and how cheap it is. And even, I guess, L2s that use other, like Celestia or EigenDA, much cheaper than just Arbitrum. I'm just mid-curving. I'm still sticking Tia, still sticking Dime, still sticking Matic, just staking these cucked coins that people are dumping on me. And I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm just in my own lane. Just waiting for the airdrops to hit. Just patient, steady Eddie. And, just stick to a plan, Like I had a plan, I'm sticking to it, and I'm not really that stressed.
All right. Through thick and thin. Justin, have you been trying to position yourself around some of these altcoins, or do you just take a longer term view like Taiki?
Yeah, longer term view like Taiki. I mean, I like some of the new innovative stuff like Monad. Throw a cough in there for the Monad team. I'm still recovering from the Monad cough. I do kind of wonder, like, what do you guys think? Where do we end up? So our BTC is down only. Our USD is clearly getting sold off. Where does that lead us? Like, is there going to be some floor or fair value where this token ends up getting bought up, or do these things just basically bleed to zero? And does that end up killing the project, or does the token price decorrelate from the project's success? What are your guys' thoughts there?
Well, every project has different backers and different entry points. And I think some of these, you look at Optimism, it's another pretty awful chart at the moment, but they do have, A16Z plowing money in. There's two main sources of money, and I've been saying this for a long time. One is the retail money. The other one is the institutional money. And the institutional money comes in either through large VC fundraisers, and everyone's fundraising right now. It's like, all the big guys, the Polychains, everybody else down is fundraising. So that money needs to get deployed, and that sort of sustains the economy. Now we have the BTC inflows. So those seem to be like actually quite healthy. I don't know. Thicky, are they still healthy? They look healthy to me.
They're okay. They're below their averages, but it's average 250 a day in March, and now it's closer to maybe 100. But it's still, you know, showing positive. Grayscale's slowed down a bit.
Yeah. And then you have, like, you know, the pure retail coins. There's no institutional bid coming. It's only an attention game. I feel like those ones are the ones where the rotation is going to hit the hardest as, you know, attention rotates and unlocks happen. We did have, for example, I don't want to get much hate about, you know, the BitTensor situation. I know Eric Wall tried to step into that and you know, it was a wild one. But we had a Binance listing for, you know, one of the most hyped coins of the year. And even though we had the insider pump where, you know, for the hours before, maybe we can bring up the Tao chart. But unfortunately, it got kind of sold into pretty hard. So it didn't seem to have a sustainable bid. Maybe we can get like a, yeah, I mean, you can see that massive green candle there yesterday. All the way reverted and kind of like skirting with the lows. So it does go to show that the amount of demand is being met with just so much supply, new coins, unlocks of existing coins. And the only way it's going to stop is either new demand or the supply slowing down. I don't see supply slowing down. So,
it's kind of like the meme. Justin, if you can share my screen, it's like Lido, the price is basically flat, but if you like the market cap, it's up only. So maybe this is the fate for a lot of these VC coins where, you know, when it first launches, it pumps because, oh my God, like FDV is a meme. And then, you know, six months into the project, people start to think to themselves, oh, like in 6 months, there's gonna be unlocks. And then they look at things like this. Dynamics are not that great.
I'm quite hopeful that, like, in the future going forward, people realize that FDV is truly all that matters. But there are some things you can do to adjust that calculation. Like, if there's a 40% treasury that is actually controlled by token holders, you can sort of subtract that out or modify your calculations. But the people that just look at market cap, I've been saying this for years, it's like you're surely destined for depression if that's like what you're basing your trade on. Thicky, I remember on a space you did, you basically said, like, price is FDV. That's truly all that matters. When you're betting on price, you're literally just betting on FDV.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely in the longer term, for sure. I'm curious, Jordy, like, you know, having seen multiple cycles, everyone has sort of like, you know, been asking on Twitter, like, when is alt season coming? Like, you know, usually Bitcoin dominance rises to the highs and then everyone rotates to alts. So, like, everyone's expecting that. Like, why don't you think that's come around yet this cycle?
I think it has come around. I think it's already at the peak. Like, we had the peak of altcoins. I don't know what people expected more than like Joe Bowden and, you know, whatever dogs with hats were going to multi-billions. That's alt season. Like, that's what it is. It's been happening. It happened. you know, is it always going to be the same Litecoin? I mean, even Bitcoin Cash had a interesting pump. I think it went up to 700 or something. It's quite a big multiple. Yeah.
It's like 21 billion at some point. Bitcoin Cash, no one uses it.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I think to Jordy's point, like, we really have had this alt season, but just not in the way people expect. Like, people were expecting the same alt season to repeat itself, where we have like these DeFi coins, ETH going up, like these notable legacy L1s going up. But in reality, like, the altcoin pump has happened in unexpected places, like in Solana, in meme coins, etc. And some of the legacy stuff like Cardano, which I thought would pump, did not really go up in the end. But like, if you just scroll through CoinGecko, you can still see that like a lot of this stuff is vaporware and is trading at insane market caps and FDVs. And so I really do feel like we have had that alt season.
Let's zoom in a little bit. Can we zoom in a little bit here? There are some interesting ones. One that has been doing phenomenally well is Ton. It is a new entrant in the top 10. It has surpassed Charles Hodgkinson. Yeah.
Friend of the show.
Quite a lot. Friend of the show. Look at that, 30% on the week while everything else, you know, not doing amazing. That's interesting. Goes to show that distribution is starting to filter through potentially. The other interesting stuff, you know, there's not that many new good coins. I mean, look at this, like Cardano, we have Bitcoin Cash, Polkadot. Like these are all kind of not very active ecosystems, I think it's fair to say. And they're still in that top 15.
Yeah. I had one question
like
around
Litecoin. Yeah.
Yeah. Like obviously number 23, we see Uniswap down 20%-ish. We had the SEC news where they sent Uni like the Wells notice. I mean, we heard about this news last year, like last March, Lido got a Wells notice. And I mean, I guess Lido hasn't done that well, but it seems like the alt market didn't really care. But in the short term, you know, the entire market nuked. Do you think the SEC news is bearish alts potentially because, you know, potential regulatory headwinds? Or do you think that this is something that the market will overlook, similar to how the market overlooked the Lido stuff from like 12, 13 months ago?
I actually think it's quite bullish personally. I remember when Brian Armstrong, when Coinbase decided they had to fight this, they basically said, well, like the SEC wants to cannibalize.
Uh-oh, the cabal got him. The cabal got Justin. Just as
I know,
as
SEC, the Uniswap lawyers DDoSed him.
I mean, do you guys think it matters if a protocol is more or less exposed? Because we have, you know, US-based protocols that are in DeFi, like Uniswap, that are probably similar and they're probably getting scared. And then we have those that are less, you know, less close to the fire. And potentially, they're not worried about this type of news. Is there any potential differentiation coming between, you know, something like a Dogecoin and something that is, you know, very similar to Uniswap?
Yeah, I think we've seen a lot of that play out in alts. Is like, you know, those legacy ones that aren't securities have gotten bids. You know, the Doge, Litecoin, BCH have all been trading pretty you know strongly. So yeah, I think anything with like actual, what's up?
Yeah, no, I was just saying like Doge is really doing, like Doge is super strong right now. So maybe it just means that people would rather buy meme coins over like governance tokens.
I think they're buying Doge also for 420.
oh yeah.
I think that position is going on right now. I'm along the way.
Fundamental analysis.
I see some chats, some comments that they got me. My internet just went down. I had to tether, but I'm not sure where I cut off there. But I was saying I think the Uni situation is actually quite bullish. Like when you put a very well-funded company into a position where they have no choice but to fight this, like as I was saying before, when Coinbase decided they had to fight this in court, you know, the SEC said list Bitcoin and basically that's it. Maybe a few other coins and cannibalize your whole business or fight this. They have no choice but to fight this. And I think the case is pretty strong. I think the case for Uniswap is, I mean, they've got the strongest case in all of DeFi. And so like, if someone's going to do this, it's great that it's them and someone has to do this. I also think just from an attention perspective, like having this in the news cycle, having this being something to rally behind is generally bullish as well. And I think Uniswap has the capital to defend this, just like Ripple did. And so personally, I'm excited by it. I'm energized by it. And I think hopefully it could lead to some clarity.
That's the key thing. I think eventually getting some clarity will be amazing longer term. Yeah, guys, I'm going through like the list of tokens and like there's some that haven't hit these price levels, you know, in many months. I'm just kind of like surprised to see some of these numbers. Yeah, Aptos is back at 11. It was at like 19 the other day, and Arbitrum 130. Look at this, like Dog with Hats back to $3.
The Ketamine guy was the top.
Yeah, I got some pushback on that. I called the top there. I was told that there is superior alpha than just waiting for Ketamine, but we'll see. There's some people still kind of hoping for a double pump there, and it wouldn't surprise me. People can forget and move on.
Yeah, the Dickey thesis is playing out where, I mean, these narratives are super reflexive, right? It's like if price nukes and the narrative is so much supply, then you know it can just be this self-fulfilling cycle of people just don't want to own these coins. So we'll see how the market goes. I mean, I don't think we've like topped, but maybe we just go sideways, which I think is like fine.
Last one to check. Oh, okay. Gonna be a longer market. I mean, I'm seeing a little cope here.
Are you coping?
I think we might see a longer market, and I think it's good. I've been saying this for a while. We were looking at each other about a month ago and asking, where are we in the cycle? Because on the one end, it feels like we're very early in the Bitcoin adoption. You know, like the ETF flows will continue for the next 18 months. That's a huge sort of tailwind. On the other end, we have like these incredible excesses in the alt market. So this is kind of what I've expected. Alts cool down, but BTC sort of stay strong. When we get that next push to 80K, alts will just do the same thing all over again. Like history will repeat, and then it'll cool off. We'll go to 90K. We'll get the next pump. But if you're playing it right, you will be selling tops. So every time, you know, I'll take profit, wait for the next one, rinse and repeat. What does that sound like thinking?
Yeah, I think that's how it plays out as well.
I've also been thinking about how maybe the reason we're not seeing the returns on alts that we've seen before is that like a lot of the edge is eked out much sooner or by different parties. So like when a team raises at a 300 million and a 1 billion, 2 billion, whatever it is valuation, that value is effectively captured in some ways by the company, by the team, and then also by the investors. And then when the project is launched, like there's actually no one that wants to buy these things, right? It's all sort of like insider selling. There's like very little retail adoption. Like the pool of buyers is much smaller than it used to, especially when it comes to like the larger capital sizes. I'm curious if you guys have thought about that at all, just that these systems are much more efficient. Like if we know that this new L1, L2 is going to launch, and it presumably will launch at a $1 to $10 billion just wide range FTV, like that edge is actually eked out much sooner and gives the market a lot less upside. And that's why we see fewer or smaller returns.
Yeah, I've seen this, I guess, frustration from people on CT, where it seems like a lot of the price discovery is happening in the private markets. So when the token actually goes live, there's like what the fuck do you do? So maybe that does drive people into meme coins. I think that's a possibility, you know. It's obviously, you know, it's reflexive, and it kind of depends on like what the market does, and price leads the narrative. But if Doge just keeps outperforming BTC, you know, as it has done in previous cycles, then maybe the use case for crypto is speculation, and people don't want to buy like centralized exchange VC coins. Definitely like a market that everyone needs to think about, or at least think about adapting to, because that's not like, as a mid curve, that's not really like the market environment I would excel in. But yeah, like maybe I do need some meme coin exposure, try to get out the mid curve.
Personally, I think the meme coin situation is sort of drying up and dying out. I don't know. That's just the sense I have. I think we're going to be in this sort of lull for a few months where meme coins aren't hot. People are really cynical about DeFi coins, like L2 coins. And I think a lot of the value just continues to get captured by like large L1 coins and hyped up projects, and everyone gets cynical about everything else.
Even the comment section for the live chat is like half the comments are people like shilling meme coins. So definitely feels like a lot of people are in the memes.
Yeah, it's hard to play the other coins. I was just in Hong Kong. There was all these like Web3 summit stuff going on. It left me with a little bit of the vibes that, you know, we're a little bit toppy. The valuations I'm hearing from the projects, that they're getting multiple term sheets, all at like very high private round valuations. It does feel like VCs are just trying to get funds out the door so they can try to raise new capital. The valuations are a little bit unattractive, and there's so many projects that are doing the same thing. Here's the main thing. We're having a lot of copycats, and anything successful will have like a lot of like people trying to just instantly encroach into that space. So there's a few categories. Like one is like liquid restaking tokens. So we had EtherFi was the first one to launch, first one out the gate, multi-billion valuation. We have several that are sort of trying to follow in that footstep. They're doing the whole points thing. You can farm these points and then hopefully get some similar result. And then maybe it's some ratio of the TVL. I think people are not very sophisticated and they're just looking at a TVL ratio. So they'll say like, okay, EtherFi has 4 billion TVL. If something has 2 billion TVL, then it should trade at half the valuation.
Are you insulting me, Jordy? I think that's been my thesis for a lot of different coins we've talked about offline.
I mean, it works well, you know, right? When the market's friendly, I'm starting to feel that testosterone levels are going up.
Testosterone?
Yeah, like just generally, like the founders are getting aggressive. They need to fight for attention. There's people copying each other and there's people in the same narrative lane. So we had a little bit of this before, right? We talked in the past, we had, you know, Monad was announcing and then Say was the already existing token in that sort of parallel EVM path. And, you know, there was a little bit of back and forth. Now we have this drama. We can maybe bring up some of the tweets between MarginFi and Solen, where it seems to be like an ongoing drama. I don't know if you know what, maybe you know the Solana drama a bit more, but between those two, it seems like there's something ongoing. And the TLDR seems to be that, you know, one of the key founders of MarginFi has resigned. Seemingly because of difference of opinion on strategy and like launching a token or not launching a token. Okay.
Yeah. After the SEC news, the founder was like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't do a token. And this is after they've done points for over a year. And they had $1 billion worth of TVL and whatnot. And then SatStart was like, yeah, like grow up. And then Edgar is like, you go the fuck up, you dirt sack. And then a couple hours later, he like left the company. And ever since then, if you pull up the DeFi Llama chart, Justin, I think TVL is down 40% for MarginFi. Jeez. Yeah, it's number five there. I think it was like at $1 billion and now it's at 500. So Christ. I think people are just getting the fuck out.
And I don't know if you can find the Solen tweet, but they tweeted that if you withdraw from MarginFi and come to Solend, we will give you like, you know, some points multiplier or something. Just trying to step on the grave and like really. This is what I'm saying. Like the testosterone's up, the PvP is up. We're at this point where, you know, it's not just like all boats are going to float and the water is going to rise for everybody. We're at the point where the knives are coming out. You know, there's going to be winners and losers. Unfortunately, like aggressiveness pays off to a certain point. I think it can harm in the long term, but in the short term, it pays off. And so, you know, talking to projects, talking to founders, I'm seeing the attitude start to get a little bit more PvP.
Yeah. This is like some like social phenomenon, right, Jordy? Like when the pie stops growing, people stop 3-3ing and they start -3, -3ing.
Exactly.
I also think, like, I'm not defending the MarginFi founder. I've never met him, don't know anything about him. But I will say, and like Vicky and I have talked about this a little, maybe Vicky wants to chime in. There is a little bit of, like, I think having Anons in the space makes things a little more tense in that it's not a fair fight. Like when someone's an Anon, it's not really like a fair argument that can be had on Twitter, right? Like you're sort of like fighting against someone that's has no reputational risk, right? Like it's just an avatar. They can change, they can create a new one at any time. When you're like a founder putting your reputation on the line, you know, your passion is within this project and some random Anon picture on Twitter is making fun of you and getting all of the engagement. It's tough. So like I get where they're coming from, but yeah.
People are asking the chat, are we saying we topped? I don't think we've topped like globally. We've talked locally, obviously, like, you know, we were in a local top. If you look just a week back on where alts were, we're up so much, we're not going to get anywhere near there, you know, for at least a month or two, it feels like. we do have large releases coming. You know, we've talked about you know, Wormhole in the past. There's quite a few large ones coming out soon that have announced mainnet. We saw even EigenLayer, one of the really big ones, announced mainnet. So EigenDA is live, and there's no slashing right now for the next 6 months, but you know, AVSs are gearing up. We might get into AVS season. That's the bullish narrative. If we get AVS points and people actually care about this stuff and it gets like super exciting. The most bearish thing in the world will be you know, if EigenLayer launches and it doesn't hit some, you know, insane valuation that people are expecting. That will be quite scary.
That would be really scary. Because I think EigenLayer is the biggest ETH narrative this cycle, aside from the ETF, but we don't really know the timing of that. So I think last episode, Dickie talked about the idea of this ETH topping when EigenLayer comes out because, oh, like we got the airdrop, cool, but then Justin Sun just unstakes and then like just sells half of his ETH and whatnot. There might be components of tax selling as well. I'm not really sure how to think about it. Like Dickie, maybe you've looked into historical analogs of maybe around early to mid-April, people start selling coins. Is that really a thing, or is it just more of a narrative that happens whenever the markets go down?
I think it's an actual thing. We topped, like, you know, literally on 4/15 of last year, right after the Chappelle upgrade. So, like, you know, there was like a confluence of sell the news events and then tax selling right at the same time. And like, we're getting a similar setup here with the halving and tax selling into 4/15, 4/20 area. So we'll see if it plays out the same way, but it's looking like it's starting to.
Yeah, I guess even in 2021, we topped in April too. So I guess there is some confluence. And 2022 was down only.
Yeah.
For the non-traders out there that aren't worried about like even the multi-month time frame, what do you guys think? Like, you know, most people will always give you the advice, well, don't sell before the halving, just hold through it, relax, hold for another 6 months, year. Like, do you think that's still a viable strategy, or are things just completely different just based on the timing of this cycle?
Yeah, I think it's viable. I mean, it's on a week-to-week basis. Like, if you go to Twitter, people are always wojacking and complaining, and the vibes are definitely deteriorating. But I mean, if you zoom out, you know, just hodlers tend to win, you know, so I think it's still the same.
Yeah, I agree with what Dickie said before. I do think that potentially we will finally see the emergence of a BTC super cycle while everything sort of is, you know, going through mini cycles up and down. And then hopefully ETH will join as soon as it gets an ETF. I've said before, we need the ETF, Justin. So just bear with me.
We have the ETF, and I won the bet. Vicky, you got to send me my ETH. JustinBram.ETH is my ENS. The Hong Kong ETF is going live on Monday for Ethereum. So just send that at your earliest convenience, and we're all happy now. Congratulations to the chat that believed in me. Screw all the haters. We can move on now.
I got to now pull up the ETH BTC chart.
I think the chart is not relevant. We got all the staking yield, Taiki. What about the staking yield and the airdrops?
You're right. ETBTC is at 0.1 if you take into account the airdrops.
Yeah.
It's true, actually. Yeah, all jokes aside, you know, the Hong Kong dollar is pegged to the US dollar. So if people want an ETF in Hong Kong, it's equivalent to a US one, right?
Exactly.
Silence.
Mickey's thinking. He doesn't know what to say. He doesn't know what to say. He knows I'm right.
Yeah, it's that. No, I'm just babysitting my underwater positions right now.
Can you share what you're underwater in, or you want to wait till you don't want to give too much?
I was just short alts since today, and now I'm just buying Bitcoin against it. But I was trying to get buy more Bitcoin to get a little net long, but a little underwater on it right now.
Let's talk about some specific alts. That'll be fun. I'll ask the chat, you know, let's get some questions on their favorite bags. We can go through them a little bit. I have to say that the meta that I'm most kind of looking at right now is the multiple point stacking. You know, there's certain ways now, because all of it's nonsensical. The market doesn't make any sense. It's all just TVL based, and who can get the biggest TVL? It's like a vanity metric. And the market is actually rewarding this vanity metric. So you can basically start like this. You can take your ETH, okay, and then you can stake it. My preference is meth, but you can stake it with like Lido, let's say. Okay, then you take that, and then you go to one of these guys like Renzo and Kelp or whatever. You restake it. Okay, now you're getting the pearls. There's different names for each one. You got the shards and the pearls and the points. And okay, you take that. Now you can go to like even though it's already restaked into Eigenlayer, you can go to, let's say, Karak, and you can restake it there because it also takes it, and then you're getting like the XP points, and at the end you just sort of like you're stacking all these like new tokens that if you want to convert them into ETH, it's going to take a while, and maybe it's not that simple, but theoretically you're getting a bunch of valuable new future of France. So that's quite an interesting, and a lot of people seem to be getting into this stuff. I mean, there's a lot of TVL flowing in.
Part of me wonders if like this is pennies in front of a steamroller. Like if you're getting an extra 10 to 15% by like restaking your restaked LSD coin, like, is it really worth it? 10% over a year, but like it literally just takes one terrible event to lose 100% of your capital. I've like personally become extremely cautious about those things.
At what cost? Justin,
there's no slashing. There's no slashing.
No, right? That's like just an exploit. Like just an exploit and you go to zero. I mean,
you don't even go to zero. Like, this is what I'm trying to tell you, man. These coins don't even have the ETH in them. Like, if somebody theoretically wanted to flash them, the ETH is like 8 layers in. So let's say like, the top layer, like the Karak gets exploited. That token, like the receipt token, which is like the receipt token of the Lido, went into Renzo, which then went, if you actually want to get the ETH at the end, the hacker is not going to get it. It's going to be like the Munchables thing. Yeah, like it's going to be like the North Korean hacker, which is just like, okay, like I give up. I'm not even going to try to get this ETH. Like, you guys just keep it. Like, I'm going home.
I love that.
Even Karak, I mean, you can definitely tell that the vibes are deteriorating, because if you pull up my screen, Justin, even Karak has like some drama, because I think it's formerly the Risk Harbor team that did like the whole insurance thing for Terra. And then I think they sold some UST to fund this new project, and they raised like $48 million from VCs at a $1 billion valuation. And then people are pissed. Obviously, like, no one cares if price is going up, but when price is going down, people are.
So this is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, so this Crypto Ian, if you look there, it says he's a researcher at BlockCrunch, and then Justin Choi is like a big angel in Eigenlayer, and Eigenlayer is like the competitor to Karak. And you kind of like, I'm not saying like I'm not accusing anybody of like back bias or anything else, but you can kind of like see all these links. Like, there's teams forming, and. And it's just very PvP right now, and a lot of the big VCs that missed Eigenlayer, let's say, they want to get a Veil, they want to get the next one, they want to have their chance. That's the VC game that I've seen. I mean, Cellini does a lot of venture investments, but we don't have LPs, so we don't have to worry about explaining to somebody like, why did you miss this? Why did you miss Eigenlayer? But from what I talk to VCs, that's their obsession. Like, their job depends on being able to say, like, we didn't miss the big one. We were actually like in the big one. And right now there's a lot of people trying to catch on to like alternatives.
Yeah. Like, these valuations are getting crazy. Like, Monad, 200 mil, Bearchain, 100 mil, Karak, 50 mil. I mean, there's still so much money.
That's the raise.
Yeah, yeah. But that's still, I know, that still feels crazy, because a year ago, I mean, I couldn't even imagine Parachain raising this much, or even like this unknown Karak thing raising this much.
Sort of what I was saying earlier, like, it's actually not crazy if you think about it. Like, take the name of the project out of this. Like, if you just launch a new layer one, that thing is going to be worth more than $1 billion. Like, it doesn't matter if it's live. It doesn't matter if it does anything. It just matters that there's a marketing page. I'm not saying that of any of the projects you had mentioned, but like, if you know that to be true, if you have like, if this project has some hype, they're building a new L1, there's like an interesting community, there's a narrative attached, like, you should, like, if you're a VC, you should be bidding that up to like the highest valuation you think it can take. And I don't think $1 billion is at all out of the question there. Like, I think
Justin, are you saying that we should do a Steady Lads L1 and then airdrop to all the listeners, give them all an airdrop?
I mean, I'm down.
What would a ticker be? What would a ticker be?
Lads.
Lads. That's pretty good. Steak lads. What type of airdrops would we give? Steak lads.
Maybe we can use one of those services where you just like click one button and your L2 deploys.
How about you can take your lads token and you can stake it on either like Jordy, Justin, Taiki, or Thicky. You can choose which one to stake it.
Oh, and it's like a voting
depending
mechanism.
Depending on which one you stake it, you're going to get, you know, either Celestia rewards if it's Taiki or or some Bitcoin rewards if it's Thicky, who apparently is a maximalist now.
Man, this would be like an amazing bear market project. Like, I hope things cool off where like all of us like have nothing going on, like in the middle of a bear market, and we just end up launching this thing.
Should probably go to jail.
Yeah, maybe go to jail.
I mean, I do think like, you know, like there's news this week that Paradigm raised another $850 million fund. So there clearly is money flowing into the space for altcoins. It's just for new altcoins. And like Taiki said, like, the price discovery is happening in private markets and in public markets with the exit liquidity. Like, you know, when something launches on Binance, like there's like no meat left for it to pump. Like, ENA was a huge exception. I was very, impressed on how much ENA ran after its launch. But like so many other of these Binance launch pools, launch pads just pump like 30% and then just get nuked.
Yeah, I mean, we can bring up the most recent one. So Saga was the most recent. Just a few days ago, it tried to do the little pump, the little launch pool pump, but it's been caught up into the sudden altcoin death now.
If you go to the hourly,
we need the hourly because that first candle is like the candy. Yeah.
Oh no.
Do you guys also agree with me that like every dollar that goes into a VC round is like a dollar taken out of the public markets in some ways? Like everyone that's investing in Paradigm is doing so that they don't have to buy coins in the public market? Like,
no.
No, you don't think so?
Definitely not. 100%.
This is like if you have 10 million, you have a large family office and you have 10 million and you want to deploy to crypto. Are you really going to be looking at like the public altcoins? Or are you going to be doing like 70% trying to get into Paradigm's new round, maybe 20%, 25% BTC and 5% other stuff? Like if there were no funds, let's say, then everyone would have to fight in the public markets together.
No, I don't think the capital that goes into funds like Paradigm would ever hit, you know, it wouldn't go into like Bitcoin Cash or something like those guys. A lot of these family offices, because I talked to a bunch of them, they made their money, you know, either with a startup or doing venture themselves, like traditional venture, Web2 stuff, Web2 tech. They're looking for bets that are similar to what they understand. And that means they want a VC to just deploy into the category. They don't want to try to pick out, you know, some random coin. Guys, let's go through some of these tickers that came in the chat when I asked for it. I actually don't know most of them. Dude. I don't even know. What is this stuff? So I thought I'm like crypto native. I don't know what this stuff is. Okay, let's go.
KeyCat.
KeyCat.
No, people are just trying to shill their bags because they know that if we talk about it, it's going to pump or whatever. It's probably not going to pump anyways.
I don't think it will. I mean.
Yeah, we're just going to call it vaporware. But
we're not Kobe level.
Yeah, we're not Ansem.
I mean, some of the ones seeing, look, we'll go through. So...
do you guys know about DGen coin though? That's actually that's like an interesting project. There's a huge community around this DGen token that launched on Base. It's at over a 1 billion FTV and they just launched a layer 3. I think I talked about it a couple weeks ago. I think it's down like 50% with everything else, but that, you know, that's like an interesting one where they're trying to build out of meme coin status and convert into a real project.
Is that bearish though?
I mean, it is down 50% since they launched the layer 3, so probably.
Utility, not good.
We did have an interesting meme coin launch today. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Foxy, which is the mascot for Linea, launched somehow. They really surprised me. They got a launch on OKX and Bybit on day one. We can bring up Foxy maybe.
We like
this was an
Fox.
Interesting one. There was
is this it? At, Fox Alinea?
Yeah, it's trading at 200 mil. It was airdropped to, I think, like a bunch of MetaMask wallets. Like if you used MetaMask snaps, I think you got one. Curious to see how this does. Definitely interesting. Interesting project.
I totally forgot about Linea.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
this, well, what is it? A layer like, two? Or layer
yeah, one? It's just an L2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah, let me. Because I've been deep into the L2 space. I can describe like what the current status is. There's like six or seven big ones that are in progress of, you know, points to get their token. So Linea is the one from Consensus, and they have the distribution. They all have like a story. They all have like one thing going for them. So Linea has, you know, the MetaMask wallet distribution. If you try to choose a network, Linea will be at the top. It's like Ethereum and then like Linea. It is a ZK one, and you know, obviously has that backbone. You have Skrull. Skrull is a ZK L2, a bit more maybe tech focused, has a lot of Ethereum alignment. So very Ethereum aligned, has like all the you know, Uniswap, Aave, all these kind of integrations, just a very, very aligned ZK one. We have ZK Sync, which is seems to be very close to potentially, you know, releasing their token. And we'll finally see how many Sisyphus Sybils managed to get through and farm that. I know he's been farming it for a long time, so we'll see.
Yeah. Like Higo in the chat says there are more L2s than users. Feels like that sometimes.
Yeah. we have Mode. Mode is another one on the OP stack that has gotten quite a large TVL, a lot of it from Renzo ETH. And I think Ethena is doing something with them. Obviously, you know, there's the ones coming late in the year, like the SVM ones, like Eclipse. There's the Movement Labs ones. So there's a lot of L2s coming. They're all going to have to play this points game.
You know what's interesting, Taiki, to your point? There's not more L2s than users, but it is actually a fact that there are more L2s than there are useful apps that like people even use on a daily or weekly or even monthly basis. Like Jordy, you said there's like, what, nine major L2s? But if you actually think about how many apps or things you can do on-chain, there's like less than nine different unique consumer applications you use on a monthly basis, which is quite sad.
I'm waiting for the day when like the applications will finally shine and they will be the ones that come through and you know, maybe it'll happen. Ultimately, if you get a lot of attention with your app, you can potentially set the rules in terms of where you deploy and what the chain should give you. So that's something that I hope at some point we stop just creating block space and consolidate on the app layer.
Can we talk a little bit about Puff, Jordy? I mean, Puff has been performing like crazy. We've talked about meme coins like getting destroyed, but since Puff launched, it launched at like 9 cents or 8 cents or something like that. It's over 26 cents. What do you think? What's the reason there? Just, I mean, the design that this is like a new narrative, a new way to approach meme coins. Do you think that's the key?
You know, it's you, when you look at price, you always try to retroactively explain it in different ways. You know, with Puff, it's just meant to be a very well thought out and good vibes project. And I think the community seems to be vibing with it. The Discord has, I think, like over 12,000 very active users right now. So it's building an active community. I think ultimately having that type of community is valuable. And we'll see.
Yeah, pull up the comment. The Chris saying, Justin glazing his daddy.
Don't see that one. Don't see that one.
All right.
We have a question. we have some question about BNB. BNB so strong throughout. I do have thoughts about BNB, and I'm impressed with BNB. And you know, BNB is the mafia, and it's a strong mafia. The mafia is strong.
Holy shit.
People thought that Binance was going to get diluted. They thought that the market share, you know, once CZ was having his issues, they thought, okay, everybody else is going to gang up and it's going to go to zero. Binance is recovered quite strongly on the market share, and they are dictating terms. They're being very aggressive. They are generating a lot of value for BNB holders with these constant launch pools. They're getting 2-3% of, you know, significant projects. It feels like almost weekly. They just announced Omni next week, which is another large project that's coming, and they're getting, I think, again, like 2-3% of that. I have been holding BNB. I've been staking it on these launch pools. And every time I get like a pretty decent, like every week I'm just getting, I am like selling most of the coins that I get on these launch pools. I don't have like any attachment to them for the most part. And it's quite a significant return. And so I think the BNB price is a reflection of Binance's, I don't want to call it like tactics, but just call it their strength, their negotiation strength is very high.
Yeah.
It's what Tia should have been.
on that note, I mean, look at this is BNB ETH, which, I mean, ETH has not, it's not as though ETH has performed, but most alts have just perpetually bled to ETH, and ETH has obviously bled to Bitcoin. And I mean, look at this performance. And then if you contrast that with someone in the chat mentioned, we should pull this up. Like, look at Bitcoin. Like, that's insane. Like,
yeah, dude, BNB USD is at all-time highs almost. It's crazy. I thought that wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
This looks like a murder. Oh my God. Okay. Let's not look at that.
It's like a DWF.
Yeah, it's a DWF. Andre. Grachev's in that one. Fuck. I bought Grachev's bags.
Grachev's painting buildings.
He's scalings.
Guy, yeah, I mean, let's see what other tickers.
How about this one? Can Diggy talk about how crypto traders are modern day pirates? Is that, did you mention that somewhere? Or?
Oh, no, I was just ranting in my chat. Am I muted? I'm muted. Okay, cool. we'll talk about this another time.
Okay, that's some secret stuff there. we have talks about political coins and the Boden coins. I mean, the Boden thing was a well-done meme as far as like drawings and changing letters. That seems to be the meta. Like, instead of with, it's whiff. And then instead of Biden's Boden, you change a letter in the right place. And it's the kind of thing that just makes Justin chuckle. Then it means you're onto something.
Yeah, but I keep fumbling these things. I was so early in Boden, it hurts. I also bought the Tremp coin as per Jordy's strong recommendation due to the Tremp-Boden pair. But I've not done well, at least on USD terms. I'd have to check in Boden terms if I'm outperforming Boden at least.
Does TradingView let us do the Boden Trump Boden?
Let's check it out. Trump.
Oh, they got him again.
Boden.
Yeah, the SEC is getting to him.
Am I back? I can hear you guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah.
You're just like choppy.
No, TradingView does not allow that, unfortunately.
Yeah. Boden kind of bounced hard. Wow.
Let's see. Geo Boden.
Huh.
Yeah.
The good thing about Boden is it has a catalyst, right? Like, it has a catalyst far into the future. It has this like November 4th catalyst. I don't know what happens after that.
That's some fundamental analysis. Should we do pastas? I know Justin has to leave soon.
Let's start with some pastas. Pasta of the week time. Justin, let's have you go first, maybe.
All right. I'm in love with mine. This thing, when I first saw this, it cracked me up. I'm sure many of you guys have seen it, but I think it deserves a quick play for the chat. SBF coming out of prison in 2027. Thank you. So hyped. And I think this one especially got me because I was thinking this man really gave that up. That was literally could have been his life. And he chose not to enjoy that, which is sad. But that pasta gave me a huge chuckle when I first saw it with Tarun.
Sam would have liked this.
Sam would have liked
this. Yeah, he was always doing those like little silly dances, right? Like very artistic, kind of awkward. Yeah, like
the little, little hand hit thing.
Yeah. He remembers. Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Yeah.
All right. Vicky, do you have a pasta?
I do.
Are you the absurdity post?
Yeah. I saw this on my Twitter scrolling down. I guess I'll read it. It says, the last 6 months have been life altering. I dropped out of college at 19 after seeing how pointless it was with a laptop and a goal. I've not only bought my first two cars in cash, but ran up a wallet multiple times with more money than most people have seen in their life. And we're just getting started. And it keeps going on, but it was like, the moment I saw that, I was like, Zilix, like I told my partner to sell all our meme coins because this is the top.
Thicky, you know what's hilarious is like, this is my image of you like to the extreme, just based on like what I know about your background, like leaving your like very impressive background behind, like with a laptop and a dream and just like trading this other utter shit and then like living this awesome lifestyle.
Yeah,
that's funny.
I mean, I don't want to dunk on the guy because I mean, you know, he seems like he's, you know, feeling himself, but you know, like, you know, probably shouldn't be dropping out of college to trade meme coins. I mean, I don't know. I follow your dreams, you know, follow your dreams. But yeah, that was.
I saw somebody like quote tweeting that and saying like, this guy is like showing off two Toyotas. Like what's going on? This is the flex that we're seeing now.
Hey, don't disrespect the Japanese car companies. But yeah, that was. I got Jordy to bow. Holy shit. Crazy.
I mean, yeah. You know, go ahead.
I was just talking to like various protocols this week, and the ones, there's some that like they just suddenly tell me, like, you know, by the way, we've been looking at the IPs of our users, and like half of them are from Japan. I'm like, what? What's going on with Japan? And then I put it together, and the products that they always seem to be the same. It's always these like vault kind of products where you put your money in. And then you just leave it, and then they, you know, they maybe like do something, generate a little bit of yield. But it seems is there something in the Japanese culture where they really just like these like savings product, like a vault product? Where you, I don't know what it is, but that seems to be really, really big in Japan.
I feel like it's just a VPN, and maybe the Japanese currency is a piece of shit, so maybe they're like flooding to you.
Do you have any like? Taiki, are you like pure Japanese, or you're like Americanized? You're like an Americanized Japanese. You don't know like the vault culture.
Yeah, I mean, I was born in Japan. I'm a U.S. citizen, but I was the president of my Japanese club at Berkeley, so I'm still like pretty Japanese. But I wouldn't want to work in Japan. I think the culture there is like not that great. Personally, you know, it doesn't really suit my. Valleys, well,
if any like proud Japanese in the chat can tell us why the vaults are becoming the new national pastime, please let us know in the chat. I really want to find out what's going on. I know like there's a few things, like if you're in Asia and you live like in Asia like me, you start to hear like all the little things, like, you know, the Vietnamese love their meme coins. They love the meme coins. They're like crushing it probably because they love the meme coins. You know, Koreans, they don't like the on-chain stuff so much. They, you know, they kind of like the brand name stuff, maybe like the things that kind of catch on there. There's like different vibes. In each place. Obviously, the Chinese love the Bitcoin stuff.
Yeah, Bitcoin L2s and stuff. Yeah,
you guys are all like in the West. Like, do you guys know about like the whole Bitcoin, like L2 and Bitcoin restaking and Bitcoin? It's crazy, like over here. Like that's all the stuff that's like fundraising. Out in the East.
Yeah, I think Merlin or something has like 2 billion in TVL. It's like a Bitcoin L2. I don't even know much about it, but it's crazy.
There's like 10 of them. There's like a lot of those things. Let's get a Taiki pasta.
All right. So this is the one posted by Frentech with Racer. And you know, there's been hype around Frentech. The keys are pumping. Seems like the points or the token's going to come out relatively soon. And then, you know, just Frentech Racer Unhinged says, pick a fucking chain already, Frank. Because Frank, I guess, is, you know, Frank is the founder of DGod. They were like main project on Solana. They left Solana. They're trying to come back. I don't even know what they're doing, but, you know, I just thought this was hilarious because we have, I guess, like these project accounts just like cussing other people or just trolling Frank.
This is the PvP thing again, right? Like both of Frentech and DGods are something that had their moment in the sun. Like, you know, for a while, like they were the hot shit. You know, things kind of moved on and then they're trying to make a comeback. I don't know if any of you guys have been using Frentech again, or I saw that they tried to get Andrew Kang and a couple people on there, and I think Anson was making some money again on the fees. They're trying to kind of run it back with like the token, maybe.
Does anyone? I know, like I think that like this token is going to be shilled so hard when it comes out because all the influencers have tokens and they're going to shill it. But I'm probably going to be dumping into those shills when I get my tokens. I did buy an Anson key though at 0.8, but I sold at 1.6. And now it's like at 5 or something. It's crazy. Yeah. So yeah, I guess I made 100K last week or something. It's crazy.
I mean, is 100K a lot for Anson?
For like doing nothing, yeah. That's crazy. I mean, he just like posts in this chat and like he just posts on Twitter and makes 100K. There are people speculating on his keys. That's pretty cool.
I mean, he goes on live stream and he says his cat's name or something and then he goes like 100 million market cap. So
then he takes off his shirt.
Samuel, I know 100K is a lot, buddy. I'm just saying this guy's like he's the main character right now. So if it was Do Kwon, he wouldn't be like talking about 100K right now. He'd be talking about how his size is. Wagmi says it's a lot for a billion. Okay. All right. We'll leave this one. Let's go to go ahead.
Yeah, so I think Justin had to go, but if Brad can pull up, yeah. Oh yeah, okay. So this is your pasta, right, Jordy?
Yeah, this is my pasta. I still chuckle when I see this. can we scroll down a little bit? Yeah. So there's a goat that this guy, and I guess in Nigeria or something, has bought using his WorldCoin. And, you know, this is the real world asset thesis here. So you take your WorldCoin and it makes a real difference in people's lives. So at WorldCoin, thanks by Richard Opani. I don't know if this is 100% real or not, but DeFi Squared says, Giga chads like this have used US exit liquidity for a goat.
I mean, I think it is real. And I guess this is kind of cool, right? Where like DGens are bidding WorldCoin and then people in other countries are using that to like actually change their lives. I'm sure a goat is, I mean, I'm not really sure. Like, and I think I also saw posts where people are like naming the goats, where I think Richard Opani or Opani is like naming goats after CT characters. So yeah, it's a real world asset right there. RWAs, bullish.
I'm seeing Jordy wins in the chat. So people like the goat.
How does Jordy always win?
I thought
Dickies was pretty good.
Oh man, we need to bring back the hat, the chef hat. I think instead of like a big pasta plate on my face, I want to at least have a little chef hat. So yeah. Brad can step up there.
Yeah, maybe because the chat is like a bunch of meme coin holders, they didn't enjoy Dickie's pasta because it went against their bags.
That one hit close to home.
Yeah, Jordy pays the bots on stream. Yeah, it's possible. He's definitely been pinged to win recently. So, We need a referee.
Yeah. All right. We'll wrap up. Please like and subscribe. I think, you know, this week's going to be an interesting one. We have a large conference. So this is the Dubai conference of token. It's the first one they've done. They've, you know, they do the huge one in Singapore. That's probably the biggest one in crypto every September. And now for the first time, they're going to do one in Dubai. There's a lot of people going. Crypto Fight Night on Friday. Ansem is fighting. So whatever Ansem, you guys remember when we had, it was the HPOS 10, Harry Potter Obama 10 fighting Ben Armstrong. And I think when like BitBoy like knocked him out, that was like, you know, the death of that chart. So if you are in any Solana meme coins, they're either going to pump or dump depending on this fight. So I'm expecting it to get a lot of views, and I'll probably go to that fight, and maybe we'll do a, maybe we can do a live stream after that. That'll be fun. We can discuss the fundamentals of meme coins based on who knocked out who.
Yeah. All right.
Cool. All right, guys, let's wrap up. Thanks for joining us again. And yeah, hopefully less red next week. And let's go for a double top. See you next time.
Double top. Yeah, bye-bye.